Twitter bans political ads, but is that all good? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. In political terms, a dark horse candidate suddenly made a huge move Wednesday. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey tweeted that Twitter would ban political ads, whether they're about candidates or political issues. The move put even more of a spotlight on Facebook, which is not only taking political ads, but not fact-checking them. And while most people cheered Twitter's move, critics said it puts a company in charge of deciding what's political and could shut smaller groups or candidates out of a cheaper way to reach people. Let's get some context in Quality Assurance, the Friday segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Erica Franklin Fowler directs the Wesleyan Media Project at Wesleyan University. And I asked her, how could political be defined?
Where do you draw that line? I mean, any discussion of climate change or, you know, there's a rally downtown, any sort of thing that touches on these issues could fall into that definition. If you're talking about healthcare, even flu shots, there are all kinds of ways in which issue discussion can be wrapped into these larger buckets of issues. And so there's going to be a lot of challenges in determining, you know, what types of speech can get through and what can't.
So how big a deal is it, do you think, that Twitter is now putting itself in the position of having Jack Dorsey or whoever, it seems a little unclear, make these decisions about what is and what is not, you know, acceptable political advertising?
I think it's a big deal. And I think in a democratic society, having for-profit companies make these important decisions is suboptimal. Having said that, I can understand why they're having to make the decision because there is no regulation. The regulatory conversations that could provide the rules to take these decisions out of the hands of for-profit companies hasn't happened. And you have platforms like Twitter and Facebook. They've taken polar opposite views now. But I understand why both of these platforms are taking the extreme views that they are, because it's a very hard decision to have to make. And yet they're having to deal with it in real time without regulatory guidance.
Yeah, I mean, how badly do we need government to step in here? And why hasn't it so far?
I think part of the challenge is that it's just hard. Mm-hmm. Coming up with, you know, what counts as political advertising, even as a scholar of political advertising, you know, I'm not sure I want to be, you know, in charge of that either. Like, you can very much imagine how it's almost like a political hot potato. People don't want to have to make those choices, but Twitter and Facebook are in the thick of it. They have to make some choices here about what to do. And in some ways, saying that you'll ban them might sound easier. I actually don't think it is. I think it's much harder than it sounds, and that there will be a lot of hard decisions. And we don't know what those details will look like. They have, you know, I saw a few tweets yesterday that suggested what they mean by political advertising, but the devil's in the details here.
Yep. Well, and we should step away from advertising for a minute and say, how big an impact could a move like this on Twitter have really on misinformation campaigns, on bots, on, you know, amplifying coordinated attempts to amplify messages? Like, is banning political advertising actually likely to reduce the impact of disinformation or improve discourse?
I don't actually think that it is. I mean, again, we sort of struggle with the television versus online environment. And certainly there's decades of evidence in political science on the television world that, you know, the advertising is beneficial to democratic society. It's more challenging online for all of the reasons that have to do with misinformation and scale. But I also think that the desire to want to spread messaging is not going to go away because Twitter bans political ads. So what this changes is the incentives to figure out how to run activity that is not technically a political ad by whatever Twitter's definition is, how to get around those definitions to still spread information. And so you will have bots and you will have other things that will be, you know, attempting to work around those rules.
It seems to me that one fundamental question is, couldn't Twitter or even Facebook, like, is there a middle ground option that says we'll take all the ads you want, but we're not going to target them? Like, it sort of feels to me like the easy answer here is just don't allow targeted political advertising. Let everybody see exactly what message you want to pay for.
You know, I do actually think that that is a potentially viable solution. Certainly campaigns and advocacy organizations, you know, there are good reasons why you want to target. You don't want all of your, you know, ads. And as consumers too, right? Like we, you know, it's nicer when we get advertising that is tailored to our interest if we're thinking about advertising more broadly. But I do also think from a democratic accountability standard and, you know, research, we don't have access to the information right now that would enable us to see exactly how people are being targeted. We know that, you know, advertisers can go onto Facebook and choose really granular settings to be able to target. And I can't tell you exactly what they are because the data aren't available on our side. But getting rid of those capabilities would have some small d democratic benefits because, you know, part of what we know about spillover effects of advertising is that when you hit people unintentionally with some political messaging, it causes them to pay more attention to things that are going on. And so I do think there is a middle ground. Figuring out how to, you know, make that middle ground work is also challenging. Targeting may be one of the solutions.
So this is also being characterized, of course, as your move, Facebook. Do you expect Facebook's position to change at all in the coming weeks and months?
I do think it puts the pressure on Facebook, but whether we'll see any change on their side, I'm less sure because it doesn't seem like they have been, you know, willing to move in that direction. And really, frankly, it's a whole different ballgame when we're talking about Facebook. The amount of money that is spent on Facebook relative to Twitter is much larger. And the other important things, online advertising is much cheaper than the other venues that a lot of candidates have to reach the public. And so there are access concerns about challengers and down ballot advertisers who want to get information out. And so from his public comments, Zuckerberg seems to believe that it is important to make sure that challengers have access to that. How the Twitter announcement will change that will be something to watch.
What do you think about Facebook's argument that transparency is the answer? I mean, you know, if we could really see on Twitter and Facebook who was paying for every ad and who they were targeting with those ads, would that be enough?
You know, I'm a big advocate for transparency and having, you know, worked in this environment and providing, you know, real-time information on television for a decade now with the Wesleyan Media Project. I do think that there are real benefits to transparency. Having said that, I also think that in the online environment, we just, as I said before, researchers lack the data that we would need to be able to really analyze it properly. The platform libraries, the ad libraries, are a big step in the right direction. And we've learned a lot from having access to them. But the type of information that we have on targeting it boils down to gender and age and region defined by state. But those are really broad buckets that really don't tell you very much about, you know, how and in what ways specific entities are trying to target. You know, in a congressional district, obviously, you're going to be targeting not the entire state. You're going to be targeting your own congressional district and doing it at a much more fine grained level. And we don't have access to that information. So to some extent, I think, you know, if they want to continue what they're doing, you know, it would be beneficial for, you know, democracy and research in this area to be able to know more about the specific targeting decisions.
Erica Franklin Fowler is an associate professor of government at Wesleyan University. And now for some related links. Now, I am definitely in agreement that it is suboptimal to have Jack Dorsey and his weird eating habits deciding what is and isn't political advertising. But I do want to paraphrase our senior producer, Jody Becker, here. She said that credit is due for unpressing the pause button and not being paralyzed on this topic. And she said that at least now the wheels could start turning in both government and the corporate world, which is fair. I mean, these companies have clearly been thinking about this for a while, and while Facebook's decision has been controversial, Twitter's is like a shock to the system. Now, what it should force is a real conversation about regulation. But election reform is currently caught in a political black hole from which nothing can emerge. So far, Republican legislators in the Senate have blocked multiple attempts at election spending and security reforms, as recently as Wednesday, actually. And the Federal Election Committee, which is in charge of overseeing issues related to campaign spending and finance, has been operating without a quorum since the summer, meaning it has no official oversight capacity because the White House and the Senate haven't filled the empty seats. So for now, the fate of online political advertising remains in corporate hands. Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy produce Marketplace Tech. Jody Becker is our senior producer. Robin Edgar is our engineer. Our intern is Jesus Alvarado. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. Have a great weekend. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.